President Truman's address at the dedication of the new AMVET headquarters. 18th April, 1952.
Distinguished guests, fellow AMVETs from all over the country, ladies and gentlemen, as we serve together, we have built together. May we take renewed faith in our future now, while we rejoice in the dedication of our new national headquarters by the President of the United States, Mr. President.
Distinguished guests, I could name everybody up here. They should be named, but then I wouldn't get my speech in if I did. I'm glad to take part in the dedication of this new headquarters of the AMVET. Your organization is young and vigorous. You're making a real contribution to the solution of the problems we face in the troubled world of today. I've noticed that the AMVETs do not approach things from the narrow standpoint of immediate interest of the veteran. Instead, you're looking at things in terms of the general public interest, and that's what every American citizen ought to do. With your World War II experience, you understand, as well as any other group I know, the kind of world in which we live and what we have to do to make a better world. You understand why we have to work hard for world peace. You understand why we must have a world peace organization and why we must have friends and allies among the other free nations of the world. The war in which you fought was a great joint effort against tyranny and aggression. The United Nations was born out of that war. You know that we could not have won that war the way we did without the help of our allies. You believe, as I believe, that an organization of free nations is the best way to prevent aggression and a way to keep war from breaking out again is to have an organization of the free nations of the world banded together for peace. Today, the things you fought for are threatened again, this time by Soviet tyranny. It's been made perfectly clear to us that we cannot expect to keep our freedom unless we are prepared to defend it. The security of our nation and the security of the whole free world is at stake. In spite of these facts, there is a serious movement afoot to slash our programs for national security. We're being told that we can't afford to be strong, that taxes are too high, that our economy won't stand it. This movement is very dangerous, and it seems to me that you veterans have a special responsibility to help head it all and to keep the country on the right track. You understand the importance of our national security, and I'm sure you will help the government to meet that responsibility. Of course, our national security program costs a lot of money. We can't build the finest, the most modern planes. We can't build the best tanks and the best ships without spending money. Those things don't just grow on trees. You have to create them. But it's not true that our national security program costs so much that it'll wreck the economy. On the contrary, the civilian side of our economy is stronger than it has ever been. Just look around you. You can see for yourself. There's nothing weak about a national income of $280 billion. And even after taxes, I'm getting this in strong this time, after taxes, most Americans have a better standard of living today than they ever had before in the history of the world. We have the greatest and the best standard of living of any people that ever came up to pass, that ever came to pass in the history of the world. The very fact that you can afford to pay these taxes shows you've got a good standard of living. Of course, nobody likes to pay taxes. They are high. Higher than I'd like to see them. Higher than they should be for any reason other than national safety. But they're not wrecking the economy. Far from it. The fact is, our economy is producing more than ever before in our history. And that's more than ever before in the history of the world. But you must bear this in mind. This is an election year. And some people believe it is good politics to appear to be more concerned about high taxes than about having a firm national defense. Some people think the voters are more interested in their taxes than they are in the safety of our boys overseas. And so the drive to slash our defense budget goes on and on and on. And it's a bunch of hooey. Of course, we're all in favor of real economy. I did a good deal of work on that subject in the last war. And I'm credited with having saved the government $15 billion in that investigation I made. But I wasn't trying to send anybody to jail. I was trying to get this thing to work efficiently. And I hope that we can continue to do just that. I know there can be a lot of waste in military operations. Nobody knows it better than I do because I've been through it all. But there's a difference between cutting out waste, which is a careful, selective job, and just arbitrarily slashing appropriations in an effort to impress the voters back home. Now, the United States Senate is as put out as anybody can be because they think the House is going back home during this vacation and say, look what we did, and the Senate's going to put it back. Well, if the Senate doesn't put it back, we're going to be in an awful fix. And I think the truth will get out because I'm going to see that it does. But the trouble with the careful work of cutting out waste is that it doesn't get many headlines. It's not a publicity stunt, this thing of doing things right. But slashing appropriations, that gets the headlines. Slashing appropriations is fine until the day comes when we find that we don't have the planes, we don't have the tanks, we don't have the guns that we need to meet the situation with which we're faced. Then we have to pay for those headlines, not in money, but in lives, the lives of our soldiers, sailors, and Marines. That's not right. Right now, two of the most vital elements in our national security are before the Congress for action. One of these measures is the Military Appropriation Bill, and the other is the Mutual Security Program. You know there is an economy wave, a fake economy wave, on in the Congress. Well, I had my own economy wave before the budget was ever sent to the Congress. And I gave these heads of these departments of national defense quite a pain in the neck before I sent that budget down. The amounts needed for national security were cut to the bone before they were put into the budget. It's an honest budget. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. If they're cut much more, we will be opening up some big holes in our defense and inviting new attacks by the forces of aggression. Just recently, the House of Representatives voted to cut our national defense expenditures between $4 and $6 billion in the next fiscal year. My, what a stump speech that'll make when they go back to run for re-election. How'd the House of Representatives decide to make a cut like this? Did they say, we've been over the whole defense program, and we think you ought to plan something smaller? No, they didn't say anything like that. They said, this program's all right, but we won't provide the money to put it over. They said, we won't even let you use the money we appropriated last year for the things you've already ordered and which are about to be delivered. Did they say, cut down on jet airplane production, or cut down on tank production, or reduce the number of men in the service, or provide them with less ammunition? No. They didn't face up to any of these questions. They didn't take any responsibility for saying where and how we should weaken our national defense. Oh, no, they didn't do that. They just took a knife and cut it. And they'd go out and brag about it. They just said, cut it. And don't bother us with details. I wish I had the old outfit.